B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Jamie Lynch. Bob Cooney still enjoying a fine vacation. I was texting with Bobby yesterday. Pat Egan rocking the Temple hat as per usual. This was a common theme yesterday amongst the people of Philadelphia. Thank goodness it didn't last that long. Why can't we have nice things? Ben Simmons left the game yesterday with, I don't know what that was.
That's my bad.
What?
I put a bet in on him.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think I mushed him.
You jerk.
My bad.
What's with you wearing the Union jersey today?
Support squad.
Yeah, dude,
good year.
You got to jump on the bandwagon when they're doing when they lose. That's not how it works, Jamie.
Yeah, I forgot. Yes, sir.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I feel bad for the Union. The great run. We appreciate everything they did and Coach Curtin and all that. We love what they did. And an unfortunate loss yesterday to the Timbers.
Yeah. Stupid.
That's a name of a team name in sports, the Timbers. Anywho, at least Union celebrates our country. But nonetheless, I'm watching everything unfold yesterday, and I was horrified when Ben Simmons walked off the court yesterday.
Well, if he just took an open three, he wouldn't have been there.
Well, I
hate to say that, but he passed up an open opportunity for something else.
I don't know if he passed up on it because of the injury. And I would assume no would be the answer to that. But it did look like he was tempted to shoot. He shot one earlier. He missed it. It looked like he was tempted to shoot and then just dumped it down to, was it Horford or Embiid? I forget who it was because I was busy watching him. And I see him start limping off the court. And it wasn't that like patented Achilles hobble off the court, but oftentimes when you see almost nothing happen and you see a guy just start to limp, it's like the Achilles. It's like, oh, he did something to the Achilles. And fortunately, it doesn't look like as of right now. He's day-to-day. The MRI showed basically he's all right. He's day-to-day. They took him back. He didn't enter the game again. He was done for the rest of the game.
Day-to-day in Sixer land means his kneecap disappeared and he lost two ligaments. They just vanished.
We'll see him in 2 years.
Yeah.
That's basically what it means. But that's what everybody's mind jumps to because that's what's happened with Ben Simmons or that's what's happened with Joel Embiid. So right around the time that that happened, Bryce Harper in game one against the Yankees.
That was work yesterday, man. Switching back and forth, keeping your focus on both at the same time.
Whew. Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah, I had the laptop and the TV going.
Oh,
yeah,
who's the real athlete?
Seriously.
Yeah, right. Is that why you were sweaty?
Do you think these thumb ligaments work themselves out?
I didn't do that. I was just like, oh, yeah, baseball's on. Cool. And I was just watching basketball.
I had basketball on the big Phillies on the laptop.
On the laptop.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. I have to.
It was tough, man.
I have to maintain. I go back and I'll watch like the extended highlights if there's games on at the same time. Well, if there's two playoff games, I'm watching both. I'll have that set up right there. But being that it's just regular season game number, whatever the hell it is for the Phillies, five, I'm just watching the 5 and 6. I'm just watching
the important
Sixers
one.
Exactly. So I'm watching the Sixers and then I see that Ben Simmons walks off. I'm like, well, that's great. And then I actually did flip over to the Phillies for a commercial, and I see that they're up, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And I see that Bryce Harper already hit a home run, and then I flip back to the Sixers. Just then, I start seeing tweets about Bryce Harper taking a swing, and he's been taken out of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all this happened within like a 10-minute span, and that was the phrase that I saw constantly.
I saw
on
your tweet,
Twitter.
And I went, oh, yeah, cool.
That literally was my tweet. It was like, yeah, cool. Both these guys are out now. This is great.
Just had two superstars that are out within 10 minutes of each other.
Why can't we have nice things? And I can't echo that sentiment more. And I know we see day to day, but Brett Brown, and I did get my wish yesterday. Brett Brown yesterday did shorten the bench just a wee bit. I don't believe we saw Howell Neto at all yesterday, which was nice. We saw more Alec Burks. Hey, how novel.
We did see Furkan. Six-man.
We did see Furkan. That Furkan, that happened. If I was going to bet on something, it would have been that Furkan still would have been the six-man.
I feel like I'm taking mescaline. Like, am I on a bad acid trip where Furkan's our six-man?
No, he's your six-man. Hey, man, well, if it makes you feel better, Al Horford's our six-man. Maybe Furkan's the seventh-man. Does that make you feel anybody?
Not really.
They still come on at the same time. Yeah. So I get it. So you're watching that. I got one wish yesterday. My one wish was that Brett Brown would at least shorten the rotation so you would get a better sense of who's going to be the guy or who the guys are going to be that he'll go to come the playoffs. But I'm watching all this play out yesterday, and I'm watching Ben, and he shot a three, and that's nice. I should have known he'll shoot a three in this game because it's against a crap team in the Wizards. But the Wizards actually put up a fight yesterday. And there's not a lot of, huge glaring positives to take away from yesterday's game, because again, it's another team that is a subpar team, to say the least about them, and it's a team you should have taken care of. And I really wanted to see the Sixers come out, take control of the game from start to finish. And they although they didn't really lose the lead a lot in this game, they struggled in this game against another subpar opponent, just like the San Antonio Spurs. Now, Spurs is still a better team, but record-wise, you should handle your business just a little bit better than you did yesterday, even without Ben Simmons.
That Warriors, Wizards lineup is
abysmal.
Yeah. I mean, it's young and just unknown, proven guys that maybe they're playing hard. I don't know, but it's inexcusable to not handle that team easily.
I don't get it. But yesterday, if there is one thing that I took away that was a positive, it was that Joel Embiid, and this starts off with a negative, but Joel Embiid yesterday looked lackadaisical. Like, he just looked lethargic at points. I mean, he was getting out of the double teams well, and he was passing out of them well, and he was going to help and all that. But when Ben Simmons got hurt and left the game, it was a whole different Joel Embiid. It was like, okay, now this is on me. I got to make sure we don't lose to the Wizards. And that was a great thing to see, to at least see him step up and say, we're not losing to this Wizards team. He had, 18 of his 30 points after Ben Simmons went out. He went on a run for himself. He was getting fouled. He was going to the line. He was making his foul shots. I thought that was the version of Joel Embiid I'd like to see a lot more of.
Yeah.
But he did it as soon as Ben went out. And it's not to say these two can't play.
Are you saying trade them?
Bob Cooney yesterday tweeted me. He's like, so what are you saying? Because I said, oh, Joel Embiid went off for, I think it was like 12 points in 6 minutes. After Ben Simmons went out, he's like, oh, so what are you saying? I'm like, well, obviously Simmons sucks. You got to trade his ass, and Joel Embiid's great. No, I was simply saying that in a time you needed somebody to step up, Joel Embiid actually did that. And that's what you want from your best player.
You saw yesterday where the Sixers have a real problem. If Tobias is off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's ice cold.
He was ice cold yesterday.
Yeah.
If he's off like that, Joel Embiid's the only given on this team.
Mm-hmm.
There's complete question marks. After that, who's gonna fill it up for you after Tobias? Because Ben was off. He looks, I don't know, maybe if it's conditioning, maybe if the knee was hurting him this whole time and he tweaked it worse yesterday. Something's off with him.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't normal Ben Simmons. I just watch this team, and even though they're squeaking out these wins, it's just, I just see so many holes.
Mm-hmm. And not just that, he was also 2 for 10 yesterday.
Yeah,
and he's not like, and
he was missing his right-handed little finger roll bunnies.
You know, you could put that up right there with the jump pass for a turnover with Ben Simmons.
The right-handed finger roll.
The right-handed from like a foot inside the foul line.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, I don't want this to count as a kind of jump shot. I want this to be a closer to the rim kind of baby hook. So it doesn't count the same. No, man, just shoot the jump shot.
Yeah.
You can do it. That's fine.
Yeah, you're 6'11".
Yeah, you're okay. It's going to be okay. Go ahead and shoot that. But Ben Simmons only played 23 minutes yesterday. He had 8 points.
My bad.
50% from the line. Yeah, why you got to hex him, bro?
I think a lot of people took that action yesterday.
Tobias Harris, 18 shots for 17 points. You definitely want to see something better than that. But Joel Embiid, again, 30 points, 11 rebounds last night. 3 turnovers, so he's staying right around his career average, around that 3-turnover mark. But still, in the second half, you saw a much better version of Joel Embiid. Do people, and this is my question after last night's game, yesterday afternoon's game, excuse me. Are you looking at this Ben Simmons injury, quote unquote, as something worse than what they're telling you? Like, do you automatically go to panic mode with the Sixers? Because I got to be honest, I know after everything that's happened over recent years, I don't hit that button when it comes to injuries with the Sixers right out of the gate. And I don't know why. Usually I would skew to the side of, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. But I just feel like with Ben, he'll be out there. If he can play, he's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he is going to try to milk this injury for the next, what do we got here, 6 games?
I don't think he's like that at all.
No, I don't think so.
He's got Aussie football in his heart and in his blood. Like, he's a tough dude. As soon as he's ready to go, he'll be fine.
Seven games left.
This is a guy, though, who kind of took off his rookie year because he wanted to win Rookie of the Year.
That's true. And now that's over.
I'm agreeing with you.
I don't know exactly that's the reason.
Yeah, we pretty much know that that's
he's
the
also
reason.
Protect. Right. Well, he's trying to protect a brand, a 20-year NBA life ahead of him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean,
why waste anything for a trash Sixers team in your first year?
Yeah, trophies are cool.
Let's also not forget that who is his GM, given the advice in this matter, it was also Brian Colangelo. So how much do you trust that guy?
Good.
I don't think in this situation, I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't think in this situation, though, that he would not want to get on the court. I do worry the Sixers will be overly cautious with him.
So what does that mean? Playoffs? He'll miss.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. No.
Like, I think they wait until playoffs to roll him out.
But even then, that's fine. My only concern, like, these eight games, I get it. They're important. The eight-game ramp-up, whatever you got here, I get it. That's what we're all looking at, and we're just wanting to see what the rotation's going to be at this point. I don't need to see much more of Ben Simmons before the playoffs to know what I'm going to get out of Ben Simmons, right? So even if it is extra cautious and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to have this, I'm not going to have him for the next, you know, 4 or 5 games, that's fine with me. That's fine. As long as I have him for the playoffs, that's it. So when I saw day to day, I said, I don't really mind because he's probably not going to play these games now. And as long as I have him ready for the playoffs, that's all I really care about. So even with this, I'm not hitting the panic button with Ben Simmons. If other people are in the avenue of hitting the panic button, I totally get it. I'm just not there. And the other thing that really did bother me yesterday, and this was before Ben went out, there was a play where even for Joel Embiid's style of play, it was like, come on, man. Can you give me a little bit more? In the second quarter, there was a play where Joel Embiid got the rebound laying down. Do you remember this play? He was laying down on the ground. The rebound came right to him, and I think he gave it to Shake Milton or somebody. The ball goes down the other end. And you see, after they set the offense up in the half court, you see Joel, like, kind of mosey into the screen and then call for the ball at the top of the key. He wasn't running down there. He got the ball at the top of the key, let a three go, missed it. And then you see him kind of lollygag it back. And I'm like, oh, come on, JoJo. And then Ben goes out and he turns it on. And look, I know that guys will have that switch, whether it's motivation or, oh, we're not going to lose this game to the Wizards. And I'm glad that he had that switch. But I just always find it very odd whenever I see that guy, like Joel Embiid, with all the talent in the world, just go, oh, I'm not going to play right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Ben goes out and he flips the switch and he turns it on to win the game.
Yeah, Joel's got that gene where he'll shut it down for a couple plays. You never like to see it, but whatever. Like this, I'm just in the dumps today.
Why? What's wrong?
Well, just the Sixers has sadness. Philly.
I do feel a sadness coming.
Yeah, this isn't good because he's supposed to be the positive.
Yeah, you're
one.
Supposed to be happy-go-lucky.
Exactly. Yeah, and the Phillies just left a really bad taste. The Sixers left a bad taste. At least we got the Flyers today. They've been making people happy.
Yeah, I
don't know. Yesterday just sucked.
Well, here's what didn't suck. You mentioned the Flyers and
Union missing penalty kicks before the half. And offsides by nipple hair. Like, come on.
Did you move stuff yesterday, too? Did you have to
move? No, we're getting ready to list the house, so mm-hmm. we just had to tie up a bunch of stuff at home. So
spend some time with the in-laws or something?
No, I had to fix a fence yesterday.
I fully expected Jamie to come in and go, look, I know the bullpen didn't look great, but
no, Pat,
after Austin Davis gave up 4 in runs, they shut it down.
Yeah, it just sucked. It just, sports-wise, it's good to have it back. I don't mind the irritation back in my life, but yesterday sucked.
The Sixers won yesterday.
Yeah, barely.
We talked to Claude Giroux. And
that was cool.
He was chipper. And then, let's see, the Phillies, they won a game, and then they lost another one. They just, like, you're all sad, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna use the word I don't like using. Mopey. Little mopey.
I'll get there. Maybe the coffee will kick in, because I was tired last night, and I stayed up to watch that Phillies game knowing exactly what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And then I hated myself for staying up because I got exactly what I thought was going
to
happen.
All right, let me try this to cheer you up. Just before we jump into that Phillies debacle yesterday, all right? Before we jump into that, did you happen to see, and we mentioned during the show that Ryan Giroux, the lovely wife
I did see the video.
Giroux, not only did she tweet us about the interview, she posted on her Insta story, she was sitting in, I guess, her living room with their son, Gavin, 11 months old.
Is that a converted coffee table, little hockey rink they have?
I don't know.
Because it looks awesome.
I need it.
Can I get one of those?
I don't know. I'll ask her where she got it. But they're sitting in their house, Gavin, their 11-month-old son, and Ryan, and they're listening to us interview her husband, Gavin's father, Claude Giroux.
Yeah, it was cool.
And little Gavin's playing like hockey on the coffee table.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, melt my freaking heart.
And he was, he had like good, he was holding the stick like properly and stuff. I was like, he's 11 months.
He's got better hands than me.
Get him in your men's league game.
Exactly. I that melted my, that hit me in the feels.
Yeah, that was cute.
That hit me in the feels. That make you happy, Jamie?
Yeah, that was great. And then it was all downhill after that.
Phillies won after that. But so the Phillies get the win in game one. All right, Zach Wheeler goes out there. Yeah, he pitches. It looks okay. You know, six hits, six innings, two runs, both earned. But then Aaron Nola, like not a lot to complain about. They built a big lead, so that was nice.
The offense came alive for once.
They built a how do I describe it? They built a Phillies bullpen safe lead.
Right? That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
So Skyler, I do have to take some credit here because Skyler was rocking her Bryce Harper jersey yesterday.
Okay, nice.
And he went yard. Not a coincidence.
So
I mushed Ben Simmons. I broke him, but I helped Bryce out before he got hurt.
Apparently made him injury proof because that injury was nothing. He came right back for the second game. But Aaron Nola takes the mound for game two.
God, he was so good.
If it was Gabe Kapler, things would be on fire right now. All right. Aaron Nola goes out there and looks just nasty as nasty could be.
He looked like 2018 Aaron Nola.
What was his streak of like so many consecutive starts with like without allowing more than like two earned runs?
It was pretty insane.
It was like 20 whatever. Yeah. It was, but it was just insane what you would see him do out there on the mound. And yesterday he matched his career high in strikeouts, which was 12. And what he had in six innings, it was awesome.
They were not even close on their swings. Missing badly. He had complete control of that lineup.
Flailing.
Yeah.
Flailing would be the word to use.
Yeah, it was one of the best Phillies performances I've seen in a long, long time.
And he's at 88 pitches. And next thing you know, Tommy Hunter's coming out. Now, just as a reminder, there's a DH in the National League now, so there is no, like, oh, well, I got to juggle my bullpen here and get a batter at the plate. It's a 1-1 game. So that doesn't exist anymore. This is now the dummy baseball of the American League.
Which Joe Girardi's very used to, being an AL man.
No stranger. And he decides to go to Tommy Hunter. Tommy Hunter, the wheels fall off.
Shocking. The guy sucks.
Look, after the game, Joe Girardi basically was worried about the health of Aaron Nola. He's barely pitched. He feels like he has to have another ramp-up period, more or less, for Aaron Nola before he can go out there and try to throw whatever it would have been. Probably would have been over 100 pitches if he stayed out there.
Gave him to 105 pitches, you could give him 17 pitches to try and end that.
Uh-huh. And I know there's a long stretch here. There's a long stretch here where you got to have a lot of games in a short amount of time, so you're going to need arms. Well, hopefully you won't that bad because you're going to have Spencer Howard in your rotation as well. But he opted not to have Aaron Nola pitch that seventh inning and go for an attempt at a complete game, albeit seven innings, right?
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
Well, that pissed me off a lot because Aaron Nola deserved to finish out that game. He was that good. Mm-hmm. And he's never had a complete game. So, albeit a weird complete game, he deserved that.
It would have been a pandemic perfect game.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect game, perfect complete game pandemic.
Pitch counts, like, I hate to sound like the old man yelling at the clouds, but like, did Nolan Ryan at age 42 care about pitch counts?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just got to let a guy finish his game.
Dizzy Dean never cared about pitch counts.
But he deserved to finish that.
Everybody knew what was going to happen once you heard Joe Girardi is going to the bullpen.
There's one guy that I would have gone to, and that was Adam Morgan. Because he's the only guy I feel is a major league caliber reliever.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all you got.
If it was Gabe Kapler, we'd be losing our minds.
Well, guess what the common denominator is?
The Phillies bullpen sucks with Matt Klentak?
Matt Klentak.
That would be accurate.
I didn't think Gabe Kapler was like the greatest manager in the world. I thought he was over-criticized because of what he had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That was right. Because the same problems exist here and now. And it's Klentak. It's the common denominator.
I don't disagree, but the decision to move
away...
Oh,
it should have been Nolan. That's Girardi. I was pissed off.
Yeah, 1,000%. I'm leaving him in that game.
So am I.
Like, look, how many more opportunities do you get? Like, you don't know when his next start's going to be.
And it's a shortened season.
Over 80. Exactly. It's another shortened season. But the reason he did it is because he was concerned about his health, which I just think is ridiculous.
I bet you if you asked Aaron Nola, did you want to be removed from that game? He would have said absolutely not.
I 100% agree.
He was locked in.
But the other part of it is Aaron Nola, his last pitch was nasty.
Yeah.
Just as nasty as his first strikeout. His last strikeout was just the breaking ball going away from the hitter. It was on a string, as they say.
It was ridiculous.
Looked as sharp as could be. There was a start last year where I said, "Oh, how do you take him out?" And then I went back and I looked at it and I was like, "He did look gassed." Like,
Done. Sometimes you can see it. Totally.
And then even after the game, he admitted that he was gassed and he was done. This I didn't see that. I saw a guy just as sharp in the first inning as he was in the sixth inning.
Is there like? I'm sure there probably is. I'm not trying to act like some moron that denies existence of numbers. Mm-hmm. But show me the science that says, you know, if a guy goes 100 innings in his first three starts or 100 pitches in his first, that, you know, he's more likely to be prone to injury.
Right.
Like, show me that.
They have the Verducci effect. Remember that?
Yeah. But I can't believe they wasted that.
It just felt like they gave up on the game once they went to the bullpen.
I tweeted last night. Going to the bullpen there is conceding.
I'm tired.
And in this year where every game is 2.7 games, you just conceded on almost a series in a normal season.
I was streaming the game on the app, and the app ended up going out with one out in the seventh inning. I didn't feel the need to really reload the app to see how it ended because I felt like I knew how it was going to end.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to bed. I knew how it was going to end. I could sense it in the sixth inning. I think Tom McCarthy even said something like, then we might have some activity out in the bowl. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
Which kudos to those guys for you know, trying to stay positive. Because they know. Well, I mean, they know.
When we come back, we'll give you the full quote from Joe Girardi on why he took Aaron Nola out yesterday. And also, we got a great giveaway. We'll tell you what that is coming up in a minute. Who do we have coming up at 8 o'clock today? Who were you texting with?
Jeff Van Gundy.
Little Jeff Van Gundy action today?
He didn't actually text me back. He texted Jamie back.
Wait, you both texted him?
Yeah.
We hit him from all angles. not in the same day.
He thinks he's calling two different radio stations today. That's what he thinks. We're going to talk to him about all things 76ers coming up at 8 o'clock today, including, I always enjoy from the national perspective, and also got a guy that coached against some of these guys. What do we have here? Like, we think we know what we have here, but from a more national perspective, a guy who's been in the trenches there, what do we have here in Philadelphia when you look at Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and all that? And also, what does he make of Brett Brown? Does he feel like Brett Brown's coaching for his job? Because I'll tell you what, I certainly think he is. 610-632-0975. Also, a little bit later, we'll give you the Phillies bullpen numbers. As you would assume, they're not good. Talk about all that and more here on 975 The Fanatic. Time at The Fanatic is 622.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6:31 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark Farzetta, Jamie Lynch, Bob Cooney on vacation still.
You can call me Mr. Unlimited now.
All right, you just referenced that. Was there anything more awkward?
No.
Well, first, let me do this. I said I would get to the Joe Girardi quote. Here's what he said about pulling Aaron Nola at 88 pitches. They're stressful innings. Meaning
what?
The later in the no, come on.
No,
not even a sentence yet.
Okay.
Well, I guess no, that is a sentence. They're stressful innings. All right.
Is he talking about the last inning?
Yeah. Was it the innings leading up to 100 pitches? Like basically, in this case, it would have been the.
Aaron Nola's never had it. Yeah, I know it's not a complete game because this game's technically tied. Yada yada. He's never had a shot at. So had. Don't you want to see how he responds?
So Whatever. Here's what he said. Yeah. You miserable human being.
Yeah, the Phillies are back. They affect my mood almost as much as...
What? Really?
Yeah, because it's...
Don't get sucked in this year, man. I'm telling you. As a friend, let me tell you.
I'm approaching 40 years old. There's been 5 enjoyable seasons in my life. 6?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be about right.
So, yeah. All right, continue, Joe.
I'd say 6. Yeah, 6 enjoyable seasons. 1993.
Yeah. 2007 through 2011.
2001 was my, like, one of my all-time favorite Phillies teams, even though they didn't make the playoffs. And then the 5 division championships.
Yeah.
So, for me, 7.
Yeah, but the ride was awesome.
All right, 7 of 40.
So anyway, Joe Girardi.
Good job, guys.
You know, this is a great question for people. How many Philly seasons have you enjoyed in your life?
7. 7!
So, listen. So here you go. Joe Girardi yesterday saying there's stressful innings, and hopefully his next start he can get to 100 pitches. He says couldn't jeopardize his health, and that's what he was concerned about going into that 7th inning. Even though his breaking ball was still breaking with some great, some great break to it, and he looked phenomenal, and he looked strong as ever, pull him at 88 pitches.
That's crap.
And it really is. Like, you should be looking at your bullpen right now like it's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
Like, basically, the second that the bomb goes off, which is like when your starting pitcher's done.
Yeah. Somebody was like, "Whoa, if you're going to your second best reliever, how are you conceding the game?" I'm like, you're pretty much going to anyone. You're conceding the game.
Are you taking away your best pitcher? Your best asset in that game? A 1-1 game? Are you taking away your best asset? Well, you have 3 hits, by the way. Yeah, you're kind of conceding the game.
There's one guy to really blame for this, and you haven't mentioned him.
Matt Klentak?
John Middleton.
I wasn't going to go with either of those guys. Not even in Philadelphia.
Not even in Philadelphia.
Miguel Rojas.
Why?
Because he delayed the season. And they've just come back. If Aaron Nola had gotten another start, his pitch count is not 88 pitches. It's probably closer to 100.
Yeah, you're right.
He probably finishes the game. But because of the fact that they've played all of 5 games this season,
sure,
and they have to rebuild their arm strength,
yes,
at least I think that's what Girardi's thinking, then, yeah, Miguel Rojas is the one who really lost us this game.
That's true. Thanks, Florida, just in general. Florida and Atlanta.
But I really do think I do think that had something to do with it, though, is the fact that they haven't...
Oh, absolutely.
He's only had 1 start.
No, 1,000%. Because this start would have been his 2nd start of the season, not his... This start would have been his 3rd start of the season, not his 2nd start of the season, basically.
Last night was 10% of the MLB season for the Phillies. That was the 10% mark.
You're going to love fractions this year, aren't you? You're going to love fractions and decimals is what you're going to love.
Well, a doubleheader sweep of the Yankees, that's something.
Yeah.
That is big time. That gives life to that clubhouse.
It's as positive as it is demoralizing when you lose 2 or 3 to the Marlins.
That's why you just push in with Aaron Nola.
I don't disagree at all. This was the perfect time to do that.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen Aaron Nola pitch like, 120 innings? Now, granted, it was later in the season. 120 pitches in a game. Why not let him do that last night?
I don't know. Girardi's handling... Look, I understand what the bullpen is. It's crap. There's probably not a worse bullpen in Major League Baseball. Okay? So that's out in the open. Yes. I acknowledge that.
Uh-huh.
Has he made a proper move yet?
With the bullpen?
Tommy Hunter put 4 guys on last night, then hits Gary Sanchez in the elbow, and he left him in after that.
Here's all you need to know.
You got to get lucky once. He hasn't made 1 good move with, like...
Hector Neris came in. Because he had to come in, evidently, after you used 2 other bullpen pitchers, right? You took out Zach Wheeler after 6 innings, again. Like, both starting pitchers, more or less, they did their job.
Yeah.
I wish they would have continued, but that wasn't the case. By the way, Wheeler was at 87 pitches when they pulled him. And you had a wild lead. I don't know why you had to pull Zach Wheeler either. So you pull Zach Wheeler, you put in Austin Davis.
The numbers tell us to.
Well, but the numbers, you had 11 runs.
They should look at their bullpen numbers.
You were up, what, 11-4 at the time? Like, what the hell are you doing? Or should it be 11-3?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling Zach Wheeler? Just let him finish the game.
Yeah.
1 inning. Instead, they go through the hodgepodge of 3 different bullpen pitchers to come into the game. Austin Davis gives up a flipping moonshot.
He's not a Major League Baseball.
Trevor Kelly then has to come in. Then Hector Neris has to come in. He throws like 1 pitch. You could have had Hector Neris come in for Nola last night in the 2nd game as opposed to coming in the 1st game. He's your best, most reliable bullpen arm.
Austin Davis and Cole Irvin, I'm sure they're lovely guys with great friends and family. They're not Major League Baseball pitchers.
I'm just telling you right now, I'm just glad I'm not emotionally invested in this Philly season.
I mean, I am kind of cold to this season. They're not going to win squat.
You are flat out droopy today because of that.
53% of Major League Baseball is going to make the playoffs this year.
Yes, and it's probably not going to be the Phillies.
Probably not.
All right, let me ask you, what's more on your mind of concern today? Ben Simmons' knee being listed as day-to-day after some kind of weird injury in yesterday's game where he literally passed the ball to the post or passed the ball to the paint and then walked off the court and went into the backstage area of the set that is the basketball court in Orlando. Like what has you more droopy today? Phillies bullpen and Joe Girardi, not Ben Simmons.
How about Elton Brand's cargo shorts? Those were some dad vacation shorts he went into the locker room with.
Oh, that was EB?
Yeah. They were pretty bad.
He's a sharp dresser. Yeah. Usually. I didn't even recognize him.
And that might have me the most disturbed.
I could have sworn my first guess would have been, I was like, what's Ben Simmons' dad doing going into the, I swear.
EB went dad mode.
I didn't even realize that was there.
In his defense, he is at Disney World and, you know, maybe it's like he just reverted to dad mode.
After this, we're going to Magic Kingdom.
Jamie's now questioning the leadership of the Sixers finally.
I'm shook.
Rocking the dad shorts. Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I believe they were cargo as well.
I swear my first thought was that was Ben Simmons' dad. What the hell is he doing inside the bubble? I'm not even kidding.
I think they were plaid cargo. He really doubled down. He went all in on Disney life.
Oh, EB.
Yeah.
If it wasn't him,
I apologize, Elton. I'm pretty sure it was.
When I looked, I was like, is that no. I swear I didn't think it was him.
But
what has you more worried?
The Phillies.
Really?
Because I feel like I'm just going to waste 60 days of my life watching this team.
What? No, here's the thing. The Flyers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't wait for
today. The Sixers are like basically in the playoffs already.
I think Ben will be all right. I don't think it's anything.
Oh, I do as well. But I just don't have anything that I'm tying into the Phillies with great emotion this year.
I'm a sucker for baseball. I always do. I do this to myself every single year.
All right, this is the poll today. This is what we're going to bat around. What has you more concerned?
Oh, Ben will win in a landslide. It's more real to people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not like I was texting with my buddy in Boston yesterday, and he was like, this 7-inning doubleheader. He's like, I love it, but this season is such crap.
Yeah, Ben will win 92%.
Really?
And that's low.
And not the playoffs yet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
I think he's easily over 75% of the vote.
Yeah, because he matters where this bullpen has pieces that I've legitimately never heard of.
I could have told you this team was going to suck. What are you talking about? And I'm here going, but they shouldn't suck.
It seems like every game they come out with somebody who I go, who the hell is this guy?
All right. Let's ask the question. Let's ask the good people. Because let's see if they're actually being optimistic about Ben Simmons. Let's see if they're just being, oh, you know what? He's day-to-day. He'll be fine for the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs yet. I wasn't expecting them to really move much in seeding. Anyway, who cares? Ben Simmons is going to be fine. What are you more concerned about, Philly's bullpen or Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons' knee, just so people know what we're talking about. Because I don't want people, oh, why do you think Ben Simmons sucks? No, it's not what we're saying. Now, those are the two things that were on my mind when I woke up this morning. And even when I went to bed last night, because I watched the Phillies towards the end. As I said, I'm watching. I'm not emotionally invested, but I'm watching. Mm-hmm. And I was at that game last night, as you know, my cardboard cutout counts as me.
Yeah, you were in the house.
I was yelling for Joe to leave him in. I was yelling. I was like, Tommy Hunter, what are you, crazy?
Somebody tweeted me as soon as Tommy Hunter came in and was like, and the fans in the stadium are making their way toward the exits.
Oh, now that would be a thing. If they could like have those cardboard cutouts stand.
The Fanatic should like grab one or two and like start heading for the exit.
Slowly turn it in disappointment as they leave with like a ice cream helmet. You know what I'm saying? That's what they need to do in order to really make it a fan experience. By the way, speaking of the fan experience, credit to any fans that were down there at Citizens Bank Park
The
drum line outside. And then also yelling, sign JT, while they were outside the stadium.
I wonder if it's the first time the sign JT kids were Newman Gretti kids. I wonder, because they were the baseball team from Newman Gretti.
Oh, awesome.
And I wonder if it's the same kids just going to continue doing this all year.
Whatever it is, it's fantastic. But what has you more concerned today? Is it the Phillies bullpen or is it Ben Simmons' knee? Because I don't think the Ben Simmons knee injury is a big deal. I think he is going to be fine.
Yeah, so do I.
But I look at the bullpen, and it's like,
that's not fine.
If you look at the entire season, this is going to happen almost every game.
Yeah.
As I said, yes. Now, here's a couple of things that came to fruition.
You think I'm Moby. How do you think Aaron Nola feels this morning?
Well, I don't know. He's always in this kind of mood. This is where Aaron Nola is all the time, at this level right here.
You see the Phil Abundance commercial?
I donate. You should, too. Like, I don't know if I will after that.
No, I did die, and I did donate to, for the record, Phil Abundance. But anyway, not the point. Looking at Aaron Nola yesterday and then watching him leave, watching Zach Wheeler leave and then watching the bullpen come in and take over, this problem ain't getting solved anytime soon, folks. So that is one thing that I know will be lingering.
I don't think Ben Simmons' knee injury will be lingering. What has me more concerned is that we haven't gotten an opportunity to really see Ben be Ben in the three games since the restart. Yeah, yesterday he shot a three against a crap team. That's who he shoots threes against. He missed it. He got injured on a play where, yeah, Jamie, you're right. Probably just should have let a three rip and been fine with it and moved on with his life. But this has me, the bullpen has me more concerned than Ben Simmons right now, because I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. You have Sham come out with the report yesterday that he's just day-to-day, MRI's
so
just fine.
So you're with me.
What, that he's going to be fine?
The bullpen's more concerned?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. I thought I was going to be in a small minority here. Like, you know, Pat put a tweet out this morning, and somebody was like, I can't imagine even caring about an asterisk season. Like, I think a lot of people have that mindset.
This is my preseason.
Yeah, and you're that guy.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I want to watch bad baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't, like, the Phillies made the playoffs this year. Good for them. I don't have, like I said, I don't have that normal emotional attachment to baseball that I do every single year. This year, I'm just like, oh, you want to do 7-inning doubleheaders? Fine. You know what I mean?
I have a confession.
Yeah, fine. What?
I'm totally in for 7-inning baseball.
Oh, you mean just as a standard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was great.
Especially when your bullpen sucks. It's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. And that way the Phillies can get around this whole bullpen issue.
It ain't happening.
No, it probably wouldn't, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. I feel like I saved an hour off of each game. Easy.
Yeah, I wish they would do other things to expedite the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not going to be 7 innings. I just
no,
like
it's not,
weird.
But I enjoyed it.
But this year, have at it.
I mean, they're tinkering, they're toying, they're experimenting.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been discussed. But, yeah, I don't think it'll happen, but I enjoyed it.
Philly's bullpen, by the way, just to give you the numbers here. This is Corey Seibman. 9.18 ERA on the season. Opponents are hitting 338. 338 against the Philly's bullpen. And then he also says no real solutions in sight. And that seems to be the case right now. So with Ben Simmons, are you at least a little optimistic that he'll be just fine and dandy? He'll be okay. Or are you thinking this is going to be something that a typical Sixers injury, that he is actually going to be battling this for a long time? I am going to say he'll be just fine and dandy. I don't think he plays in the next game as a precaution. I think you do see him before the playoffs. I wouldn't bet a heavy amount of money on that, but if going with my gut, I still think he plays before the playoff run starts for the Sixers. 610-632-0975. We also, we told you we're going to have a nice little giveaway for you. Caller of the day. We have a $50 NFL Shop gift card. NFL Shop gift card. $50. Because football is back, teams are in training camp, and so is HBO's Hard Knocks, the award-winning series that gives fans a look at what it takes to make it in the NFL. This season, Hard Knocks follows two teams, the LA Chargers and the LA Rams, as they prepare for the most unprecedented football season in history. Hard Knocks LA premieres Tuesday, August 11th at 10 p.m. on HBO. You can stream it on HBO Max. This might be, as they even say in the promo, this might be the most anticipated Hard Knocks ever. Because we really want to see what's going on behind closed doors at training camp, do we not?
Matisse Thybulle's vlog and the success it's had has showed you, because last Friday night, my cousin and his wife came over for dinner, and we ended up talking about Matisse's thing, and my cousin's wife was like, oh, can we watch the newest episode? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, wow.
Like, she found, because it's showing you life inside and what they're going through and the protocols and
all
that.
It's a reality show.
Basically, yeah. And when I realized that she was into it, I was like, oh, damn, people really want to know what's going on right now because this is so out of the ordinary.
Good Morning America.
So Hard Knocks is going to be the same way.
Good Morning America, LA Times, New York Times.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, he was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, so people have a real interest in the protocols these people are going through, their lives that they're about to embark on here as professional athletes. So I think Hard Knocks is going to be... It might have their best numbers ever, honestly.
It probably will.
Yeah.
And first off, they do have two teams, which I find very interesting.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
I'm usually not like, oh, you got to watch Hard Knocks kind of guy. But
I've never missed one.
Really?
I love it, yeah.
I end up watching it, but I'm not like, oh, this is must-see TV. This is going to be must-see TV.
Yeah.
The thing with Thybulle that I found so interesting, when Kyle O'Quinn missed the coronavirus test, the first thing I thought of was Matisse Thybulle's vlog. Because I was like, how do you miss a coronavirus test with all the precautions and all the protocol that's in place in the Orlando bubble for the NBA? How do you miss that?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of, because we have that behind the scenes. Look, when we watch the LA teams, basically the LA football teams play here, I'm going to be wondering what the testing is like, what the protocol is like, what that huge hurdle is going to be like for these teams. And I'm going to be relating it to the Eagles, obviously, to see how much their protocol is like the LA teams, like the Chargers and the Rams. I want to compare and contrast here, and I also want to know, get a general sense of what's going on behind closed doors of training camp. Because like everybody else, I just want to know if we're going to have a season or not. And as I have said, and I'll stick by this for until I can't any longer, I feel like we're going to have a football season. I just don't know how long that football season is going to be. I think we're going to have it. I think it's going to start on time. I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to finish the season.
I think it's going to end up getting shortened. Mm-hmm. I could see an 8 or 10 game schedule happening. Whew. They're not going to punt on all of it. I think they'll, you know, much like Major League Baseball has shown you, they'll go to some extremes here to keep it alive. I think NFL's that times 10.
Mm.
They'll do whatever the hell they can do to get their TV network money.
Mm.
So we'll see. There's not going to be, something is going to be not normal about this season.
By the way, I know we were praising UConn yesterday. Uh-huh. I was doing some reading, some light reading yesterday.
Whoa.
UConn.
You all right?
Not a book.
God, oh, okay.
Not a book. Let's not get crazy.
We're talking internet stuff.
I read To Kill a Mockingbird. All right, I'm good on books now. Here's the deal. What happened was I didn't realize UConn lost money last season.
And that helps the decision.
Football football in America in college lost money.
They don't have those Dan Orlovsky attendance gates coming in anymore, you know? Struggle City.
Yeah, that's what happened. So they looked at it and went, I guess we're good on this. We don't need to. You know what? It's dangerous anyway, so we're fine.
And they were close to cutting their program.
I was going
to
say, they're not even in a conference, are they? Are they?
They're going down, I believe. Yeah, they're going down to 1AA.
Okay.
They could not care less about football.
I'm not surprised. Actually, Ricky Bowe, who's a Connecticut guy through and through, texted me and goes, "That's because football sucks." Meaning the team.
He loves their hoops team, I'm sure.
Loves their hoops team, and he is a football fan.
You know who was originally supposed to go there? It was Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, he did. He was there.
Yeah, I thought he did go there.
He did go for like a semester or something.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, in the documentary, they have him in a UConn jersey.
Yeah, because he committed there, but he didn't end up going there. He went down to Florida and committed.
I thought he transferred. Oh, he canceled. You're saying he canceled.
His dad went there, and it was a given of you're going to UConn, and he was planning on going to UConn until he visited the Swamp.
Ah.
And then he committed to Florida.
I visited there.
He met Tim Tebow, and he was like, well, where else do I go?
I mean, you know.
That's cute.
It's a man of God.
610-632-0975.
Yes, there's literally game pictures of him in a UConn jersey. I think he transferred.
Now I gotta look it up. Wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong.
What the hell is it that, Pat? Come on, bro.
Well, I mean, if I'm making my first mistake at 50 minutes in the show, that's not too bad. That's not all that bad.
Yeah, the batting average so far for you today is great.
It's not. Who's worse, Philly's bullpen or Pat Egan right now? 6-1-0.
You know, let's make that the Twitter poll. Brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. When we come back, we'll jump into that 76ers game that took place yesterday. Everything, including the Ben Simmons injury. And Joel Embiid, the typical, you know, like 30-point game for Joel Embiid, double-double for Joel Embiid and all that. There was the one play that just stuck out to me that it was just so JoJo, it was unbelievable. We'll talk about when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.